name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the midpoint of the Holy Fast. We celebrate the cross. And we have this reading that you should be very familiar with. It's really a very important thing to understand, not just to remember, but it has to be in your heart if you are to be saved. You can't be saved without following this reading. And so let's go through it a little bit and consider whether or not we are following our Savior's words. So Jesus calls the people to him with his disciples, and he says to the group, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He said, "Whosoever will," in other words, if you want to do it, if you decide to do it, it's your call whether you do it or not. God will not force you to follow him. You must will to do it. Now, if you will to do something, that presumes that you have desire, you have intent. You have set your priorities in a certain way, you have a purpose. If a person wills to become a successful businessman, then they go to business school, etc., etc. And perhaps if that's all they desire, then they don't care whether they're honest or dishonest, hurt people or don't, because the primary thing is for them to become rich. Perhaps someone wills to become a doctor or to become a great athlete. You have to set your priorities in a certain way in order to obtain your goal. Now, those are all ephemeral things that will go away. There's only one thing that remains from your life, and that is who you are. So your primary purpose must be, not should be, must be. You can't be saved unless this must be your primary purpose, or else you will not be saved. And that is to become like God, to become in union with him, to put off sin and to put on righteousness. That should be what you will. And it should be because you understand your purpose. Now, as a pastor, I've just passed my 22nd anniversary of ordination. I can tell you that my experience is most people do not know their purpose, and they have not willed as this gospel says. Because when you will to do something, that means when it's hard, you keep doing it. That means when things are difficult, you persevere. We, as a body of Christians, don't persevere very much. That's why our churches are mediocre, our attendance at churches is mediocre, why people have all manner of problems just like the rest of the population, anxiety and adultery and unhappiness and depression and drug abuse. It's not substantially different than people who do not identify with being an Orthodox Christian. That's because we, as a body, collectively, have very few who will to follow the way of the cross. So the first thing you must do as a Christian, and I say the first thing, but it also has to be the second and the third and the umpteenth millionth thing that you do, because this must be a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute assessment, really. The first thing you must do is decide, do you want to live as a Christian? Is this important to you? Do you understand why you are breathing right now? Why you have hands and feet, and why you have an ability to see God, to know about him? The animals don't know about him. They feel his presence in some mystical way, but they don't know about him, because their soul is not refined enough to know. But ours is. We were created in his image to know him. And so everything that you desire in life should somehow be related to that knowledge. And this is what you should will, to be like him, to put off the sin that's in your heart, the darkness that's in your heart, the coldness that's in your heart, and to become full of light and warmth and purity and holiness, because then you can know the one who is full of light, who is light and is warmth and is holiness. So this you must decide, and it must be a decision every day, every moment. You, whosoever will, the Lord will force no one to do things. Now, we have rules in the church. We have rules because they're necessary to show us the right way to live. But they're not obligatory. Believing in God's not obligatory. You can do what you want. Of course, if you do what you want, then you will eventually get to the point where you will be not able to do what you want, because sin will take over and you will have a wretched life and a wretched afterlife. But God will not force you to do anything. And I don't like it when people, especially people who, we have sometimes a sort of pagan idea about God. We have to do these things to appease him. Someone dies, we have to go light a candle. We might not have been in church for 3 months before then, but we light the candle. What kind of nonsense is this? We don't appease God and then go on the rest of our life and just do what we want to do. We must decide now and later to follow God with all of our heart. So you have to make that assessment. I can't make it for you. And you won't fulfill your Christian obligation by following some rules, by fasting in a certain way, or by making sure that the ingredients don't have whey in them, or that you come to church, whatever you consider to be the responsible amount of times. None of that stuff saves you. What saves you is to will to come after Christ with all of your heart. That's what saves you. Now, we're in the middle of the fast now. 3 more weeks to go, and then comes Holy Week. And things, there's sort of a little lull this week, and then we have the Great Canon and the Salutations to the Theotokos. The Annunciation is soon. So things are going to start to pick up. And then, of course, Holy Week is very intense. For those that want it to be intense, for those that don't want it to be intense, they show up on Pascha or perhaps on Holy Saturday. But if you will to save yourself, if you will to follow after the cross, if you understand why it is that you're alive and who God is and who you are, then you will desire with all of your heart to follow after him and all those things which come with following after him, which includes following of rules, but not because they're rules. Because in our hearts should be a desire to follow God, because God is perfect and good and holy. That's why we follow the commandments, not because they're some externally imposed thing. Even Orthodox Christians think this now. Now we have, outside of the church and infiltrating into the church, this idea that Christianity is just sort of what you think. You think things. And if you think it, it must be true. And so people justify all kinds of immoral behavior and also just lackadaisical behavior by what they think. In the Orthodox Church, we have people that say, well, I come to church when I need to. Oh, really? And how often do you eat? Oh, daily? 3 times a day? Maybe 4 or 5 times a day? You come to church when you need to. Oh, okay. Well, how about that you need to all the time? Or about prayer? I pray when I feel I need to pray. Really? When you feel you need to pray? Well, the Lord says, if you will, come after me and deny yourself and take up your cross. Does that sound like you're just giving yourself options here? Not at all. You must choose to not give yourself options. The Lord expects you to do this, but he doesn't force it upon you. You must choose to become a slave of God, because being a slave of God is to be free. Because everything else is really slavery, even though it appears sometimes to be freedom. So you must make this decision on your own. You must decide you want to follow Christ, because that's all that matters. Now, it will show in your life whether or not you've made this decision. If you're occasionally coming to church, well, you really haven't made that decision. If you pray haphazardly, if you have sins that you really don't want to stop, or perhaps have bought into the political speak of our days and say, well, you know, that's not really a sin. We're scientifically enlightened now. We understand these things better. All that kind of stuff. Then you have not willed to follow after Christ. It's your choice. We must choose, if we are to be saved, to will to come after Christ. This is not an option. It's an option to choose, but then it's not an option to endure what the consequence will be. The consequence of choosing to follow after Christ is life. The consequence of not to choose to follow after Christ is death. And there are a lot of people that walk through the doors of a church that have not chosen to follow after Christ. Do not kid yourself. And you should tremble and ask yourself, like the apostles, when the Lord said, one of you will deny me. They said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Even though, of course, it was Judas. Judas had it in his heart. The other apostles didn't. But the other apostles were humble enough to know that the world grabs at you and can take you away from your purpose. So the first thing that I want to tell you today is you must decide. You must have desire and intent. You must set your priorities properly and will to follow after the Lord. Now then follows the things that he tells you to do. But if you've made that decision and you say, I'm not giving this up, then you will be able to do these other things. Perhaps not always well, but you'll get better. But if you don't have this desire, then you're going to falter. Absolutely. So he says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To deny himself, that's certainly not the Christianity we hear on the radio and the television. That's not the Christianity of those people that give invocations at events. That's not a very nice word for modern days. To deny yourself, what does it mean? Do you understand what it means? It's very important to understand what it means. You must know how to recognize what is good and what is bad. This is a fundamental Christian skill that you must develop. Now, we have this skill in other things. If you have a medical condition, let's say diabetes, you know that certain foods are good and certain foods are bad. You know that if you eat these bad foods, that you're going to get sick. Eventually, either have a heart attack or a stroke or lose your eyesight or something like that. And so if you're serious about coping with your diabetes, then you will deny the things that are harmful to you. Now, our society shows that a lot of people are not serious about their diabetes because it's rampant and almost uncontrolled in many people. And in the spiritual life, giving in to sin, living in a haphazard way, is rampant and almost uncontrolled among people. So you must deny the things that are bad and take up the things that are good. That's what this means. This is not some sort of torture in yourself, that you must make yourself feel miserable in order to have God say, all right, I accept you now. There's none of that. The West had some of that. But we have none of that. This is about denying the things that are bad. Your heart tells you. Now, unless your heart has become so black that you can't see, then that's a danger. That can happen. Remember, the Lord allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. He was incapable of seeing the truth after a period of time. But your heart should tell you. Your heart tells you that this jealousy that you feel is wrong, is bad. That the lust in your heart is bad. That the laziness is bad. They're watching TV till 2 in the morning and stumbling to bed and then not getting up to say your prayers. That's bad. Your heart tells you these things. Those are the things you must deny. And then you take up your cross. And to take up your cross is to do what our Lord did. He took up his cross. He obeyed his Father and did what was right. So should we. That is exactly what we're being told to do. Deny the things that are bad and to do the things that are good. And he uses this take up your cross because doing the things that are good is hard. It's hard to carry your cross. It's easy to indulge yourself. And it's hard to choose to do what is good. So after he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, he says, follow me. I guess you have to know why you're following him. Why follow anybody? Because you think they're going the right direction. Because you think they have the right knowledge. Because you think they care for you. And because you think they're safe and will lead you to prosperity. That's why we follow Christ. He's the only happiness in the world. And if you really believe that, then you will deny yourself. Now, perhaps you're thinking in your heart right now, well, there's stuff I do, and I've been doing it for a long time. I guess it's not denying myself. I would have to disagree with you. Not necessarily. To struggle against sin is to deny yourself. To have victory over sin is a grace given by God. So you must struggle against your sin. And that is denying yourself. Now, if you're serious about it, then you will eventually be victorious over your sin, no matter what it is. But over time. So do not take your behavior, the things you do, that is, not the way you think. If you don't think right, then you're lost. But don't take your behavior as an indication of whether or not you're denying yourself. But you must struggle against your sins. And I think I'll be a little bit explicit here because this is really important. This is something people don't understand. So you deny yourself. Let's say you have a bad relationship with someone. And when you think of that person, your heart kind of constricts. You feel angry. You have conversations in your head with that person, etc. Ugly stuff. You don't like them, maybe you're tempted to speak badly of them, etc. Well, you can't just automatically just snap your fingers and all of a sudden your thoughts are perfect. You can't do that. We don't know how to do that. But you can do things to fight this feeling. You can pray for that person. I think probably 24 people in this room have heard me say that. Personally, you pray for a person that you have some difficulty with. You must do it. You pray for them before your wife, before your children. And if you don't feel that you mean it, you just pray harder. And if you have to grit your teeth, you still pray. You do things like being social with them. Perhaps it's someone, let's say, in your office. Well, at least you say good morning. Perhaps when you go get a cup of coffee, you say, would you like a cup of coffee? Even though you'd rather pour it on their head than give it to them. This is how you fight these thoughts. This is how you deny yourself. You do not give yourself the right to feel something that is bad. We have a lot of troubles in our age with sexual problems, and don't kid yourself. They're all over in the church as well. Pornography is a huge problem. And that's a great addiction. It's every bit as much addiction as heroin or as smoking. It's something that people usually don't want to do, but they end up doing it. So, how do you deny yourself if you're addicted to pornography? Well, first of all, you confess it. And I'll give you concrete things that you do. And I'll give you some examples now. There's prayers for purity from our Trebnik service, our Book of Needs service, that I give out to people. I bought 100 copies of it and given it out. I'll tell you what, I bought 100 copies, but of those 100 copies, probably less than 10% of the time people actually use the service. They come to me and say, it happened again. Did you say the prayers? No, I didn't have time. No, I forgot. Do you know where your prayer book is? No. That's not denying yourself. You're kidding yourself if you say you're denying yourself. If you can't even find the prayer book. You say the prayers from the Book of Needs. If you don't do that, then you do prostrations. When you're tempted, you go take a walk and pray with your Jesus prayer. Since this sin involves being alone most of the time, you're not alone then. Get out. Start walking around outside. If you lose, you've still fought. See, this is what denying yourself is. It's a very important skill that people don't understand. Our society basically says, if you can't do something, well, you might as well find a reason to think that it's okay. But things are not okay. Things that are bad are not okay. It's never right to do something that's wrong. So you must struggle against it. This is what denial of yourself is. To struggle against your sins. Some people have a weakness in a certain area. Other people don't. Some people are naturally irascible, irritated, or irritable. And they have to struggle against that sin. Perhaps they've been irritable all their life. Well, there are still things that they can do about this irritability. First of all, they can apologize. Second of all, they can actually pray about it. If they don't pray in their own words, there's lots of prayers I can get you that are about this sort of thing. They can do prostrations. And how about this? They can go to church regularly and go to confession regularly and go to communion regularly. So this is how you deny yourself, by struggling against your sins. But it has no meaning in a person's life if they do not know why they're doing it. If they do not, first of all, know they were created in the image and after the likeness of God to become perfected and holy. If a person knows that and has made that decision, that that's what I want to be, then everything else follows. The denial of yourself follows. Basically, you can rephrase deny yourself to be listen to your heart. Do what your heart tells you. In fact, both of these things, to deny yourself and to take up your cross. Listen to your heart. If your heart tells you it's bad, then don't do it. If you still do it, then do everything you can to struggle against doing it. And if your heart tells you something is good, then do it. And if you can't do it, then do everything you can to struggle to do it. It's as simple as that. This is the way of life. You know, the cross is a symbol of victory. The victory is victory over sin and death. And if you understand this in your heart, then you will naturally struggle against your sins and struggle for righteousness and goodness. Because it's the only way of life. It's the only way of happiness. This is what the cross teaches us. And the taking up the cross is to struggle to do good, to not do bad. Because God is good and he's not bad. And he created us to know him. Basically, what I'm saying is contained, what I've just said, is contained in these questions that the Lord poses. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Those are the kinds of questions that you need to answer all the time. There's nothing that can profit you. If you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, then you have lost. And what can you give in exchange for your soul? The Lord already told you. To deny yourself and to take up your cross. That's what you give in exchange for your soul. And then the Lord will save you. May God help us to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him. Amen.